Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 66. These are words that bring lots of comfort and healing to the people of Israel at a time that was very difficult and with even more difficult days to come. And so we read these words, and we are reminded, of course, that even in the midst of our own difficulties, that God speaks comfort and healing into our lives too. And he does that primarily, of course, through the work of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, according to Wikipedia, the term comfort food was first used back in 1966 in a newspaper article. There's a Florida newspaper called the Palm Beach Post. And anyway, back in 1966, comfort food was mentioned for the very first time. And so according to the article that I read, the description is of comfort food, it has to be food that provides some sort of a nostalgic or sentimental value to somebody. And it's often characterized by being food with high caloric nature and a high carbohydrate content. That's usually in there too. And of course, it's also important for comfort food to have a simple preparation method. Okay, so those three things are important. High calories, high carbohydrates, simple preparation. Now, forgive me for saying this, but I think it's actually true that this whole weekend in Hoyleton is about comfort food, right? Like, that's what Hofbräufest is all about. It's nostalgia, and it's good food. When you combine the two, you get Hofbräu. There's really no other way around it. And so that's what it seems like this whole weekend has been about. The nostalgia factor runs high this time of the year, even for somebody like me, who has not lived in this town all that long. And yet, still, when we gather together in Hoyleton for the Hofbräufest, everybody comes together in a way that I think makes us all think of the days gone by. You know, this is the 51st Hofbräufest, right? And so we think about the way life used to be, everybody pitching in, everybody coming together. A lot of you have shared your fond memories with me of how life was in Hoyleton back in the 60s and 70s, back when everybody knew everybody who lived in town, right? Back when we didn't have the internet and all of this technology that seems to really just take over our lives. And so it's one of these weekends where we kind of press pause on all of the craziness, and we just spend time with each other. We just get together as a community, and we enjoy each other's company. And yes, of course, we enjoy the food too, right? So some of you probably noticed this. If you're on Facebook, you might have noticed that our own Dustin Unverfurt, last week on the Hoyleton Community Club Facebook page, he posted a poll. And he was asking people to name and vote for their favorite Hofbräufest food items. What is your must-have comfort food item that you have to, enjoy at the Hofbräufest? You could probably guess, even if you didn't see that poll or vote, you could probably guess what some of the top vote-getters would be. I was really surprised. There were 156 votes total, which was amazing to me. Third place was, of course, the bratwurst, right, with 12 votes. Or maybe 14 votes, something like that. And I was one of those votes, okay? I voted for the bratwurst, right? That's the top three item. Number two, the second place item, was actually the chicken dinner, which will be served right after church today, right? Famous chicken dinner, like 32 votes for the chicken dinner. I know that my wife Katie was one of those votes. But the number one food item, I'm sure you probably realize it's kind of obvious, right? It's gotta be the German potato salad, exactly, right? 48 votes for German potato salad. That's like a third of the total votes for the whole poll, right? And so it's what it's all about, casting your cares aside, eating way too much, enjoying every minute of it. And if it wasn't for the heat and the humidity this weekend, Hofbräufest would really be all about comfort. But it doesn't last, right? So tomorrow, we're all back to normal. Tomorrow, we're back to the routine, back to the old grind, back to our normal day-to-day activities. And believe me, I know that for people who live in this town, Hofbräufest is not necessarily a vacation. I realize how much work goes into it to make the whole weekend successful. But I think you get my point, right? That we have a normal day-to-day routine that is not easy either. And to go back to normal life seems to get harder and harder as the years go on. It seems like we get more and more stressed out all the time. But just in case we think that we are unique in that, that we're the only generation of people that has ever had felt this way or felt stressed or this kind of thing, or that there's something uniquely difficult about life in 2019, we have this Old Testament reading today from Isaiah chapter 66, and it reminds us that even years ago, God's people dealt with difficulties, that God's people needed comfort, that you could even say they needed some sort of comfort food back in those days. So these words in chapter 66 come from the very end of Isaiah's prophecy. These are some of the last words that Isaiah ever wrote, and they're intended to bring comfort. Right? There's a lot of positive language in this passage, right? This is supposed to be like a big old bowl of German potato salad for the children of Israel. That's what it is. And yet, you can see right away in verse 10, right in the beginning of the passage, that there's some sadness mixed in with the rejoicing, right? There's a lot of talk of rejoicing and being glad, but at the end of verse 10, it says, "All you who mourn over her," and her, in this case, is referring to Jerusalem. They're sad, they're mourning over the city because it's been revealed to them that their beloved city of Jerusalem is also going to be destroyed. And so they're mourning. And, you know, this is a ministry, Isaiah's ministry, which had already seen some destruction already. They had seen the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel when the Assyrians came in and took over. And just within about 100 years after Isaiah wrote these words in chapter 66, the southern kingdom, Judah, you have Jerusalem, it's all going to be taken over by the Babylonians. You're going to have these people who are brought out into exile. This is a very stressful time for God's people. There's no doubt about that. And yet, what happens is the Lord comes to them in the midst of the stress, in the midst of the grief, and he promises them that he is going to comfort them. And he uses this wonderful image of a mother comforting her baby. Right? This baby nursing and being bounced on her mother's knees, right? Is there anything more peaceful, more amazing, more powerful than the love that a mother has for her child? I'm sorry, but that kind of comfort food blows the chicken dinner out of the water. Because this is the kind of comfort that truly lasts. If we think that a mother's love is one of the most powerful forces on earth, how much greater is the love that our Heavenly Father has for each one of us? The other day, our son Zachary got sick. And he's actually okay now, as far as I know. He just had a little fever, and he was pretty tired. And I think in the end, it was because he's teething again. I think his two-year molars are starting to come in. But anyway, on Thursday, on the 4th of July, we had two parties to go to. And he did pretty well at the first one. He was acting normal. He's playing outside. Everything was fine. But then as we went to the second party, he all of a sudden gets really clingy to mommy. And he crawls up into her arms and he falls asleep, which is really not like Zach. You know, normally he's a big ball of energy, but he was just out. And anyway, we didn't think much of it at first. You know, maybe just like he didn't really get his nap that day or something like that. But eventually it became pretty clear that there was something else going on. He had this fever. He's starting to burn up. It's taking a while. He's just not acting right. So I went in the house and I was trying to give Katie some relief, you know, let her get up, get some food, go take care of some things. And Zach did not want to leave mommy's arms. I mean, if he had more energy, I'm sure he would have fought me and wiggled right out of my arms. And as soon as Katie came back to the couch, he lunged for her. He knew where he needed to go in order to find comfort, and it was not Dad. He wanted his mommy. He wants his mommy right now. And I bring this up because in a spiritual way, we all have this sickness that goes way beyond, you know, the little fever and exhaustion you might get from teething at 2 years old, right? We have this sickness in our soul that has infected us called sin, and our sickness is fatal. Our sickness leads to death. And so it destroys everything from the inside out. It turns everything upside down. Just like the children of Israel who faced their sin, had to face destruction, had to face exile and all of these terrible things, and how the Israelites really needed comfort from the Lord, we're in the same boat. We need comfort too. We need words of hope that we can cling to. And of course, we have different options, right? We have different places that we might turn in order to find comfort, but there's only one place, one source of comfort that can actually last. And that is the comfort that we receive from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the same God who promised Israel all of these wonderful things, that they would receive comfort and joy in the future, that they would receive peace like a river, that their bones would flourish like the grass instead of just withering away and drying up. This same God has fulfilled those promises by sending Jesus to make sure that it's possible for all of God's children to actually receive those gifts. Jesus promises not only that kind of healing to you and me, but he actually makes good on that promise too. He has given up his life. He gave up all of the comforts of this world, all the comforts known to man, so that he could take away all of the sin sickness that brings us nothing but pain and misery all the time. And even now, through faith in him, we receive that mercy and that grace whenever Jesus brings us to his table. Whenever we receive the greatest comfort food that the world has ever known, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, given and shed for you, for your forgiveness, for your restoration, for your soul. It's a foretaste of the feast to come when we will sit at God's banqueting table in heaven for all eternity. So later on today, if you go over to the Hofbräufest, if you're eating, you know, some chicken or a brat or a pork burger or one of those things that people voted for, one of those comfort foods, if that brings you joy in any way, if it brings you comfort, if it brings you happiness, may that be a reminder to you that there is a greater day coming, that there is a greater meal coming, when we will be sitting in heaven at the eternal Hofbräufest without any stress, of course, without any humidity, of course, but with God's eternal comfort and probably some German potato salad too. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed on page 158. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.